just God. Thank God for our pastor, our assistant pastor, Pastor Sonia Gross, in her absence. Thank you for this opportunity to stand here and teach God's word. We're going to pray and get on into the word. Lord God, I thank you for your grace and your mercy that you have shown us, Lord God. Lord God, I thank you for being the rest and rule of our lives, Lord God. As you decrease everything in me, Lord God, hide me behind the cross, Lord God. Don't let them see Miriam, but let them see you, Lord God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable, Lord Jesus, in your sight. For you are my strength, you are my redeemer, you are my everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. He gave me the word. I was asked him last week, I said, God, what am I supposed to do? What do you want to talk? He said, my purpose. My purpose. First of all, what is purpose? Purpose is the reason for which something exists, is done, or is made. It is intended and aimed, a goal or intention. It signifies and determines meaningful directions and abiding intention to achieve a long-term goals and often make a positive impact beyond oneself. It acts as a driven force in action and resolution. Purpose for human existence is to glorify God and enjoy with him the love of others. Purpose is found in aligning with God's will, serving others through good works, created in advance, and demonstrated love, which reflects Christ's mission, which is the human purpose, is found in loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and loving neighbors as oneself. Sometimes it's hard to do that, but that's one of the great commandments, love. He said, He taught that life's purpose is to glorify God, follow his will, and serve others rather than pursuing selfish ambitions. When you decide to live a life of purpose, how God intended for you you have to what? Surrender. That's your first thing you got to do. When you decide you want to live God, you want to live the life for God, you want to live it right for him, you want to be in right standing with him, you first got to surrender. What do you surrender? You surrender your plans. You surrender your thoughts. You surrender your being. You surrender everything that you thought that was going to be great in your life. No, why? You surrender that to him because he has a purpose and a plan for our lives. God has a plan and a purpose that he has for our lives, because remember, you are giving yourself away and laying down your cross and picking up our Savior's cross, laying down yourself, dying to yourself daily, picking up your cross daily to follow Christ. He says, if any man want to be with him, you got to lay it down. You got to lay everything, every weight and sin that was so easily beset you out of the will of God. You got to lay it down because you cannot carry that and carry cross. You cannot carry that and carry what God's ambitions and desires are for your life, because our stuff, it weighs us down, because some of the things we want, some of the things we want to do, we have thoughts, we have plans, we have ideas. My life is going to go this now. At the age I'm going to be graduated high school. At this age, I'm going to be graduated from college. Or a technical school or whatever it may be for your life. But sometimes it don't work out that way, because it was never God's design for your life to work out that way, because he has what? A purpose and a plan for you. In Romans 8 and 28, he says, and I know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good, for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So you have to know, are you called according to the purpose that he's given you? You have to ask him. Sometimes you have to. I know for me, I had to ask, what is my purpose? What am I supposed to do? You know, when I graduated in high school, you know, I had been in a wreck my senior year, a horrible wreck. And I couldn't walk, had to learn how to walk all over again and everything. And I was like, God, what am I going to do? Because I had thoughts of doing this and going on to college and being a teacher and doing all this. And I was like, I can't even walk up some steps. How am I going to walk across a college campus? God said one word to me. I was coming down the steps. He said, hair. I said, hair? Yeah, I did. I turned my face up. And I was like, hair. He said, hair. I said, okay, I can do that. And I went to college, went to school, learned it, and did it for over 25, 30 years. And it was for it was my purpose. It was a plan already designed for me. I had a plan. I had a purpose for what I thought I was going to do in my life. And he said no, because his plans and purposes are so much greater and better for our lives than what we think we need and deserve. You see, even when we want to do what we want to do instead of doing what God wants us to do, you know, you go against his divine plan and path that he's already set for our lives. In Proverbs 3:5, in all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. That's one thing I love about that last word. I asked people, do you really understand what that passage means, especially the last part? Yeah, the first part, trust in the Lord with all your heart. We all know that. But the last part is so significant when you think about it. He says, in all your ways, not your mama's ways, not your friend's ways, not your boo, your bae's ways, but in all your ways, acknowledge him because he will direct your paths. P-A-T-H-S, that means every road you want to go on. He said, I will direct you. I will tell you, that's going to be a fall. That's a ditch over there. You're not going to make it down there. No. Roadway, divert, go around this wrong way. You know, he tells us, I will give you every area to walk in. I will show you every path to take. If you just acknowledge me, if you just remain in me and trust me that I got the best intentions for your life, he will direct our paths, everything. And you know, when he talks about your whole heart and trust, it said that implies to complete unreserved, meaning reliance on God's wisdom and not our own, not dependent on what we think, not dependent on how we think a situation is supposed to act. He said, rely on his wisdom, rely on his plan, rely on his mind, because his mind is supposed to be like our mind and our mind is supposed to always be like his, because why? He has the best intentions for our purpose life. And it says not leaning on what? Oneself, meaning encouraging humility, acknowledging that human perspective is limited compared to God's divine wisdom. We are limited to what we think we can do. We are limited. There, God is just, he's the creator of the universe. Don't you think he's got so many plans and so many things already stamped down and mapped out for you? But we want to divert. We want to go this way. We want to go that way. My friend's going to do this. My friend's going to that. No, stay in the divine will and the path that he has for your life, and you will get to where you are supposed to be in him. And not only him, you will have great success. You will be, oh my God, you will have so much stuff that he wants to give you, but you got to stay on the plan. You got to stay on the path. You got to have his divine wisdom, not our own. And acknowledging, that means recognizing God is accepted in your life. You got to acknowledge him. You acknowledge him, who he is. Is God your God? Is Jesus Christ your Savior? Have you accepted him? What have you acknowledged? Has it been an outward saying, yes, I take God, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior. I repent of my sins. Have you done that? Have you acknowledged who you serve? Have you acknowledged what side are you on? Or are you trying to be on the fence? Let me tell you, there ain't no fence. You either hot or cold. There's no in between. You either for him or you not for him. You got to acknowledge who are you with? Who are you serving this day? He says, and then when you talk about the promises, he gives us promises, y'all. The promises is God's. He will give you a straightened path. You know, so many times we are walking and we think we're walking down the straight path. We have no idea. We are so lopsided. We are so crooked over. We think we have our mind just straight, clear. No, baby, your mind is not, because if you don't have that mind of God, and if you have not acknowledged who he is in your life, you don't have no direction. You don't have no plan. You don't have no path. You really don't have no purpose. You got your own purpose, but you don't have the divine purpose of God and what he wants your life to be. Because he said, I will make your crooked path smooth. He said, I will make your crooked path. He'll straighten them out. And Isaiah, he says, I'll make your crooked path. You know, he said, I see you going this way. I see you bobbing and weaving. I see you going from left to right. He said, if you just acknowledge me and know who I am in your life, I will straighten out that path for you. You don't have to worry about if I'm going to fall to the left, if I'm going to fall to the right, because why? I will straighten out your walk. I will straighten out your thoughts. I will straighten out your talk. I will straighten out everything that you need in your body if you just acknowledge who I am. Who I am. You see, every action, my husband says all the time, every action gets a reaction. When you allow God to lead and guide you and get you ready for the work that he has called you to be, I mean, there's no greater work. There's no greater life but just to be in him. In 1 Peter 2:9, it says, but you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. Y'all know y'all chosen this morning? He says, you are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own passion. He says, as a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he has called you out of the darkness and into his what? His marvelous light. He has brought you out of the dark. He has brought you out of the kind of like the step, kind of like you're looking over. You're ready to jump because I'm cool. I know I'm going to be okay. I'm going to make it. And he's like, no, baby, I'm trying to call you up off of that ledge. I'm trying to pull you out of what's trying to take you out over the ledge because I know what's best for you. I got the plan for you. I got the purpose for you. I got everything for you. But like I said, acknowledge him because he said what? He said he has good plans for us. He has good. And he wants to bring us out of the darkness and bring us into his marvelous light because there's no greater light. And what? He is the light of the world. And when you choose to serve the light of the world, man, what could you want? What more could you want but to serve him and get the residue of the light shining down on you? You know, you're in a dark place. You know, things are going on in your life. You're like, what am I doing? Dude, Lord, everything is coming down on you. Feel like you got the weight of the world. No, God said, Jesus said, cast all your cares upon me. I care for you. You ain't got to carry that weight. You ain't got to carry that burden. You ain't got to carry those trials and tribulations. I said, give them to me, for my shoulders are strong enough. I'm big enough. I can take this. You don't have the capacity to be able to walk through this walk without me. He said, give them to me, and I will take care of you. All you got to do is just fall back. You know, me and my husband, we've been watching reruns of the Cosby Show. It's been so good. We've been laughing and everything. There's this one episode that Elvin Sodner's husband, he always thought he was smarter than everybody in the room, right? So this one episode, him and Sandra get into something, and Bill's just sitting there like, oh, foolish boy. He said, when you act like you're getting ready to be able to tell something, and you're going back and forth, but he said, what you do, like, stand back. That's what we got to do. When we feel like we're trying to maneuver, and we think God's saying, don't do that. I'm going to stand back because so many times we want to press through. We want to do what we want to do because why? We feel like we can do it. We feel like we can conquer the world. We feel like we can do anything. We can jump over that mountain. You know what? That mountain's going to stand still. Nothing's going to move. Nothing's going to go to the left. Nothing's going to go to the right because why? We got that mindset. We can conquer. We can do. And yes, you can, but you got to have somebody in the forefront of you allowing you to be able to conquer that mountain, conquer that giant because you cannot do it upon yourself. You got to have the strength and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ leading and guiding you and directing your path and your purpose in order to get where you're supposed to be. So sometimes you just need to, okay, God, you do it. He's done me that so many times. I'm like, I can do this. And then, you know, we go back and forth. I'll be like, I'm sorry, I'll shut up. Sometimes God just says, shut up. I got you. Be quiet. Listen. Listen, because my ways are so much better than your ways. My thoughts are so much higher than what your thoughts are. I know what's going to happen over there. I know what's going to happen down the road. You keep this path, disaster's going to come. But if you go over to the right path, I'm going to give you everything that you've been waiting, everything that you've been desiring, that you thought you was going to get over here. This over here is just temporary. It's only going to last for a little bit. It's not going to last for the longevity as you think it will. But if you come over to this path, if you come over to this side, he said, I'm going to give you longevity. I'm going to give you the abundance. I'm going to give you everything that you're striving for, everything that you need, everything that you're desiring. Because why? You've come over to the marvelous light. You came out of the darkness. Because when you come out of the darkness and you get into the marvelous light, you can have any and everything you want. He said, I will give you the desires of your heart. But what? You got to first acknowledge me. You know, you can't. I'm sorry. It's my fault. Oh, Lord Jesus, that's all right. God is good. when you see God called you for a purpose, he did not mean for you to always go in your own way. He said, I called you for a purpose. I have a purpose and a plan for your life. And your life is not your own. It never has been. He called you out of your mess to proclaim the marvelous works that he desires to share with you. And you know the thing about God, he's so awesome. They are so awesome because they're gentlemen. They're not going to go over your will. You don't want him? Cool. He rolls on to the next person. You know, so many times, I never forget, one time I was in a church, and God spoke to me and said, say something like this. I was like, I ain't saying that. No, I was looking around, I ain't saying that. You know, and he said, say it again. I still didn't do it. Next thing I knew, this person on the other aisles said exactly what God wanted me to say. How do I not know? I missed out on a blessing because I was too worried about what people was going to say. I was worried about what people was going to think about what I was saying. But if God puts it on your lips, if God puts it in your heart, in your mind, and he just urges you to say something, then you know what? Follow the leading of God. Follow the path that he's telling you, because you don't know what he has on the end of that message that he's telling you to do. It may have been $100. Whatever he wanted to bless me with, I missed out on it because why? I wanted to do what I wanted to do. I didn't want to listen to what he was telling me to do. And I saw my blessing roll on. So now he tells me to say something, I say something. Because he has the best intentions for us, not ourselves. He's not, like I said, he's not gonna go over your will. He will move on to the next person. God wants us to be able to align ourselves, not just in him, but align ourselves in the obedience to him. He tells us, you know, y'all are created. He created us. He designed us for a purpose. Yes, to worship him in spirit and in truth, but to love him with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your spirit. God is so dope, you know, that he truly loves us. And, he makes sure that he told us that he has a plan and a purpose for our lives. He told us that you don't have to worry about different things. You worry about kind of like Mary and Martha, that situation when they were Jesus and the disciples, they was coming down and they was coming to Bethany and they was going to spend time with Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, because Lazarus and Jesus, you know, they were big buds. And I'm paraphrasing, but it's true. When they got to the house, you know, Jesus is teaching. He's just going through. He's telling everything about whatever he's talking about. But it is the gospel. It is truth. And Mary is just so inclined to hear what was being said at the feet of Jesus. And Martha comes in there and said, Jesus, don't you see what I'm doing? Don't you see everything that's going around? I'm preparing this great meal, this great feast for everybody. But my sister's just sitting there, just not doing nothing, just listening. He said, you know what? Don't be so worried about what Mary is doing. Mary has found that great thing. Mary has found the place where she needs to be in the at the feet of me to hear, to listen, to absorb, to be able to get direction, be able to get the path for her life. Basically, you need to put that food down. Food gonna be there. Come on in here and get what she's getting. I'm not gonna take away her blessing and her knowledge because she decided to put her feet, put her whole life and put her whole self, her heart, mind, and soul into me. She wasn't worried about the food. She wasn't worried about the people. She wasn't worried about all this rigmarole. She wasn't worried about. She was concerned about herself getting right, getting everything, absorbing everything that came out of his mouth, because she knew what? It is life. It's the life that she needed to be able to pursue in her dreams, to be able to pursue whatever she was supposed to do in life. But the thing about it, don't be so worried about somebody else. Be concerned about your own purpose and your own plan, because whatever they're doing, that's between them and their God. You need to be concerned about you and your God. You know, in Jeremiah, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, 29:11-14, he says, for I know the plans and thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord, plans of peace and well-being, and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Verse 12, then you will call on me, and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear your voice, and I will listen to you. Verse 13 says, then with a deep longing, you will seek me and require of me as a vital necessity, and you will find me and search for me with your whole heart. And then verse 14, I'm going to bring it all back together. It says, and I will be found of you, says the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes, and I will give you free, and I will free you and gather you from all the nations, from where all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back to the places, to the place from where I sent you to exile. My thing is, I gotta go back over there. He said, and the first one says, I have plans, and my plans and thoughts for you are for you to have a great life, to be prosperous, not for disaster. Things happen in life. That don't mean that I've allowed out that this is that I told this to happen. Things will happen, but my plans that I have for you are not for disaster. My plans for you is to have a hope and a future in me. And then he says, and then when you will call on me, have you ever just called on the Lord when you needed something? You're just calling on me. You're praying, Lord God, I need you to show up. If you don't show up, Lord God, I don't know what I'm going to do. He says, you just call upon me. He said, and I will hear you. I will come and I will incline my ear to you. I will hear what you're trying to tell me. And you know what he said? He said, this is all he said. I will listen to you, because when you're a child of the King, he said, I will listen to you. I will hear your fainting cry. You know, sometimes your voice, maybe you feel like you can't speak. You feel like you can't say what you want to say. But he said, I hear that whisper. I hear you calling me. And he said, and I will listen to you. And he said, and then I will, with a deep longing, you will seek me and I will require of me. He said, sometimes you got to seek him. You got to be deep in him. You got to run. You got to call him. You got to fast. You got to pray. You got to get what you need. Get to him. I don't care what's going on around. Get to the Lord, because when you are needing him, he says, as a vital necessity. I don't know about y'all, but I need him as a vital necessity every day of my life. When I wake up and breathe, just the breath that I have in my, it is a vital necessity, because if you ain't got the breath of God, you ain't living. So you got to have you seek him with a vitalness. Seek him and seek him and seek him. The Bible says, seek him. Seek him. Continue seeking him. And he says, and when you seek me and require of me as a vital necessity, you will find me. He ain't hiding from us. We hiding from him. And the thing about it is, he sees everything we're going through. He sees everything that's going on around us. Oh, he's just saying, come talk to me. Come pull up a chair. Let me know what's going on. Talk to me. Yes, I see, but I'm waiting for you to seek me. I'm waiting for you to come and talk to me. I'm waiting for you to come bring what you think is your plan, what you think is your purpose. Bring it to me, and then I'm going to give you what I have for you. Because what I have for you is great greatness. What I have for you is good things. And he says, when you search me with all your heart, not half of your heart, all your heart. And he said, I will be found by you, says the Lord. This ain't what Miriam says. This ain't what Pastor. He said, I will be found of you. Mean he will find us. He will come and incline his ear to us. And he will say, baby, I got you. I see what's going on. So here, this is what you got to do. A, B, C, and D. Don't pass up C and then get to D and then think, well, why didn't the rest come into place? You didn't follow the path. You didn't follow the steps. He said, follow the steps, follow the order, follow the direction, follow the path and the plans that I have directed for your life. And you will be found to me, and I will give you, and I will he will give you back everything, your fortunes, everything that you feel like you lost, everything you feel like that was taken from you, everything that you feel like that you would have had, you should have, could have, would have. He said, I will give those back. But the thing about it is, he's not going to give you back what you thought, what you wanted, not your shoulda, coulda, woulda. He's going to give you the shoulda, coulda, woulda that's going to be right for your life at the right time, at the right place, that you need to be able to receive them. Because at that time, you didn't have the right mindset. You hadn't acknowledged me yet. You just thought that you could do everything on your own. He said, no, when you acknowledge me, then I will give you the desires of your heart. But you first got to come to me. And it's all about coming to him, not staying in our own self. Because when we stay in our own self, yeah, you're going to be exiled. You're going to be put over to the side. People ain't going to listen to you. People ain't going to, they're going to just take you as a grain of salt, because you're just the type of person you are. You know, you like to tell stories. You like to be in the crowd of people. You like to be seen. You like to be this. But when you throw away all of those, I want to be seen, I like to tell stories, I like this, I like that, and you put on the mind of Christ and you put on the acknowledgement of who he is in your life, let me tell you, baby, you get a whole different look about yourself. You get a whole different, like a different horizon comes up in you, like, oh, I got this. You're not getting ready to take me out. Yeah, I'm stronger. You said I'm made perfect in my weakness, Lord God. Because why? I gave you my weakness. I gave you my struggles. I gave you my problems. I gave you everything that I'm going through. And he said, okay, you gave them to me. Now go somewhere and rest. Take a siesta. Chill. I got you. You do not have to be, don't be worried about everything. Because if you gave them to me, if you laid them at my feet when I told you to, he said, I will make you, I will give you the promises. I got the promises for you. I got the plan. I got everything for you. But you got to first acknowledge me. You got to first trust me that I am able to do just what I said I was going to do in your life. It may be plans and things you thought you prayed for years and years and years ago. They haven't come. There is a time and a purpose and a plan for everything, you know, for everything to come into your life, because his plans are the right plans. His purpose is the right purpose for our life. But when we try to get in our own thinking and get in our own way, it never works out right. It never works out right. Excuse me. Ephesians 2 and 10. It says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. In Psalms 138 and 8, it says, the Lord will work out his plans for my life, for your faithful love, O Lord, endures forever. Don't abandon me, for you made me. This, I love this part, because he says, the Lord tells you, he says, the Lord will work out his plans, his purpose for your life. Because why? He is faithful. He loves us. He's got us. And his love endures forever. And he will not abandon us. He said he will make it right for us. He will bring everything the way it needs to be in our life. You just got to be in him. Esther 4 and 14, it says, and who knows but that you have come to the royal position for such a time as this. Who knows that you've been told to come to this church for such a time as this, to come in here to fellowship and come in here to work, to come in here to do God's will, to come in here to raise him up, to come in here to be a workman under his workmanship. You know, who knows? Who knows? But God knows. That's because he knows all the plans that he has for your life. He has all the purposes for your life. He has everything for you. Have you acknowledged him and asked him, God, I just keep going, feel like I'm going around and around in circles. Something just ain't working. I feel like I'm in a hole. Like I've done this. I've done that. Have you tried God? Have you really tried him? Have you really given over to him? Have you really said, Lord, this is yours. You told me to cast all my cares upon you. You told me to give you everything that I'm going through. And you said that you would take care of it. You said that you would work it out. You said that you would change it. You said that you would do this. You said you did. And God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should show or repent. And he said, that's why God wants you to pray his word back to him. Let him know that you are supping with him. You are reading his word. You are inclining in him. That's what he wants you to know. He wants to know, are you with me? If you're with me, don't worry about all this stuff. Let it go. Let it go. He says, because surely we were purposely made for our assignments. Don't you realize you have an assignment? You were created with a purpose and an assignment. You know, he didn't just say, you know, in Jeremiah 1, 5 and 6 talks about, you know, before I formed you in your mother's womb. He said, you know, I knew you. Basically, we was with the Lord before we ever came into our mother's womb, and he already put what we was going to need to be able to achieve the assignment, to be able to achieve the purposes that we're supposed to do on this earth. But the thing about it is, when you get grown and you are middle-aged or whatever the case may be, then you need to go ask him, Lord, what is my purpose? What have you created me to do? What do you want me to do? What is my assignment? And sometimes, you know, all the times you think, oh, my assignment is to do this. I'm supposed to go over here and talk to this person. I'm supposed to go over here and minister to that person. Well, if that person ain't changed in a year, a month, or something like that, that may not be your assignment. You may need to just let that go and go back to the throne room and ask God. I may have been wanting to do that on my own self because I just wanted to see that person all right. And God said, stick to the assignment. Stick to what I have for you. Stick to the plan and the purposes that I have for your life. In Proverbs, I'll end with this. It says, Proverbs 19 and 21, it says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but the Lord's purpose always prevails. God's plan and purpose for our lives is so much greater than our own. We need to allow God's purpose and his plan to come first in our lives. He always has better for us than we have for ourselves. God bless you. That's all he gave me.